You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, reaching hearts, transforming communities. To find out more about us, go to our website, www.clch.cc.
I've been following Jesus 21 years now, which is a long time. And I can say that I've had ups and I've had downs, and we've heard of many stories. And I think it was great what Tim did there during worship. I was just sat there, you know, I wasn't just having a rest after a 10-mile hike from yesterday, but I was sat there just seeing the glory of God in the stories that were shared. And God is on the move right now, and you may be watching online, you may be sat here this morning and something's going on in you and you're kind of feeling moved emotionally. There's something going on. I'd say God is on the move. God is on the move. He is working in our lives, whatever our circumstance looks like. So before I even get into the week two of this series, I just want to declare God is on the move in your life. He is on the move. He is on the move. So Tim launched our new series, Kingdom Over Everything, last week. If you haven't heard it, tap into it. You can do that online. You can do that on all podcasting apps and providers. Definitely worth catching up. But, you know, the series is called Kingdom Over Everything. And Tim last week, he mentioned that the prophets in the Old Testament, so that's the first part of the Bible, they were pointing to a better future. They were pointing to a new rule. They were pointing to a kingdom. And this kingdom was called the kingdom of heaven. The ruler of this kingdom was this person called Messiah. This person that they called the Christ. And actually, Tim highlighted a scripture in Luke 4, 16, 19. It says this. He went to Nazareth, so this is Jesus now, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. So it's like a church, really. And that was the place where they heard news as well. They didn't have newspapers, so it was the place to be. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it. I would have loved to have been there in that moment. Unrolling it, the fulfillment. Jesus, he's unrolling the... Ooh. Anyway, that beats Britain's Got Talent every day of the week. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. And it said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In that moment, this is where Jesus' public ministry started. I was listening to Radio 4 the other day, and there was this really cool actor whose name I've forgotten. But he's approaching retirement. And often with Radio 4, what they do is they talk about, well, how did you make it? How did you make it? And they talk about their big break. And in this moment, Jesus was suddenly like propelled into his ministry. It was one of those moments where we say, this is where it started. He declared right in that moment that the kingdom had come. It was here. And Tim mentioned last week that the kingdom starts in the heart. It starts with us. Ooh. Starts with us. And in Isaiah 61 verse 3 is where I've had the inspiration for my message this morning. And I'm just going to read it quickly. Isaiah 61 verse 3. "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Pretty epic scripture there, isn't it? You know, those that studied the scripture, those that were kind of in the synagogues, the teachers, of the day, you know, what they would have thought in that moment, back when it was written, they were actually looking. So if we go all the way back to when Jesus entered history, they were expecting something entirely different, really, to what they got. In fact, they were expecting a king that would come to rule this kingdom. Okay? They looked forward to this king, one that would come with power and authority. They were expecting redemption. So I say entirely different. Actually, it's not entirely different. But they were expecting these things. But actually, what they expected with this kingdom, this person that would come to set them free, to bring them redemption, they were expecting a warrior king. They were expecting somebody who would overthrow their captivity, but to do it by sword and by might. And in fact, you can actually see when you read the Old Testament, God was trying to work with some kings and they kept stuffing it up. They kept messing it up. You know, and sometimes they use a bit too much might or not enough. You know, he was just like, I need, and the people were like, we need a king. And God was like, well, I'm trying to work with this one, but it ain't working. So then all of a sudden, what were they thinking? They were thinking the same thing again. This Messiah will come and try and repeat what all the other kings have done and failed to do. But this time, he'll get it right. And he will destroy the Romans and he will kick them out and we will be set free. And, you know, these people that were reading the scriptures, these people that were interpreting the Old Testament, listening to the prophets and sharing it, actually, they were making the same mistake that we can often make. And that is that they were molding God into their image. They were molding the Messiah into their image. In other words, God's going to do things the way that we say he's going to do things. They had expectations on how he was going to do it. So we fast forward to when Jesus arrived and his announcement of the kingdom. It was completely different how he came to what they expected. So instead of a warrior king, we had a baby in a manger. How many knows when you see a baby, you don't think that's going to bring freedom by sword or whatever. You know, they just lie there. A baby in a manger. It wasn't in a palace. It wasn't in an incredible, it wasn't like dropped into a rich family, a place of influence. It was a working class family. A carpenter and his wife with not very much. In a barn. And the rest of the story, his story, you can read in the New Testament. And that's not what I'm going to focus on today. But his story is incredible. You see, the truth is, God doesn't want to follow our agenda. And the sooner that we understand that and accept that, the better life is going to be for us. He doesn't want to follow our agenda. Doesn't mean he's not interested in us. He doesn't need us to tell him how to do things. Okay, I don't know, I've made that mistake. I'll hold up my hand. And it's like, God, I'm trusting you to fix this situation before me. And this is how I'd like you to do it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Thank you very much. I can just imagine when he's there, he's just smiling. Dan, when are you going to get this? I've got you. I'm going to do it my way. We are not to mold him in our image. It's not about the kingdom of Dan. It's not about the kingdom of Hannah, the kingdom of Gareth, the kingdom of you. I'm sorry, but it's not. No, it's not about the kingdom of earth. So it's not about us trying to establish our direction based upon our society and our culture around us. No. It's the kingdom of heaven. God's rule. God's reign. God's way. And I want us just to take a moment this morning to have a look at the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15. I wonder if you can turn there. It'll come up on the screen as well. It says this, and saying, this is Jesus again, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Wow. Wow. You know, John the Baptist at this moment when Jesus is here and he says, John the Baptist at this moment was talking about someone special was coming. He basically went out into the desert, as you do when someone special's coming. Okay, you go to the desert. Okay, he went out into the and he was announcing, someone special is coming! But John, again, wasn't the type of person you would expect God to use to bring a message. And one of the things as I was preparing and praying for this morning, for those of you online, for those of you here, for those of you listening on demand, is that God uses people that you don't expect. So you might be this morning watching, listening and thinking, I don't expect God to use me. Watch out. He's coming. God uses the unexpected to bring a message and to do something. And I'm very happy about that because I'm not the most expected person to bring a message. You may feel the same. In fact, often I'm like, God, really? Really? You see, John the Baptist smelt. I know that because of his clothes and what he wore and the type of food he ate. He ate some funny food. He dressed like Lady Gaga. Okay, right. But you see, God used him to bring a message. In fact, God used him to bring a message. God used him to as a part of the anointing process of Jesus' ministry really kicking off. Because actually, he was like, there's somebody coming, and people were looking at him. Some people were believing this person's coming, and they were like, yeah, we've got to get ready. Actually, the high-flying people in society, those that kind of knew it all, or thought they knew it all, were looking at him laughing. Look at that stinky camel hair-wearing weirdo. He doesn't know a thing. Bam, Jesus comes in. He walks in. He gets baptized. Okay, right in that moment, we see, don't we, that Father God kind of says audibly, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Another one of those moments in history. If we invent time machines, I want to go there. Because also the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. There was this incredible moment. And John, this smelly, bad clothes wearing guy, was involved in that moment. God uses the unexpected people. I'm encouraged by that. So we see that Jesus is baptized. Father announces, hey, I'm really pleased with this person right here. It's my son. And here again in verse 15, Jesus announces some stuff, right? And he announces that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know, I want to zoom in on the word for a moment, if you'd allow me. Just the word repent that Jesus mentions here. And I want to dig a little bit deeper. You see, repent, when you look at the word, and again, thankfully, the person who knows Greek isn't here this morning, so I can try and announce it. But mate noeu. And when you look at this is repent, that was the original word. And when you look at the original word for repent, when you look at the origins, this is what it says. It says a fundamental change in thinking that leads to a fundamental change in behavior, which leads to a fundamental change in the way that we live. So it's not a, I'm sorry, God, will you forgive me? It's not that. It's something beyond that. So the way I understand this word is it's turning away from the way I'm doing life, changing my worldview, changing the way I think, and living completely differently. It's a change in character, a change in nature. So it's not just, I'm sorry, God, for all I've done. Will you forgive me? Because I broke the speed limit yesterday. That's confession. Okay? When he says repent here, Jesus isn't saying, don't just say sorry. Actually, this is well beyond that. This is really beyond that. So Jesus is saying, really, in verse 15 here, the kingdom of God is at hand. Change the way you're doing life. Live completely differently. Change your character. Change your nature. This is what he's saying. This is what Jesus is saying in this moment. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's something that happens here. It's something that happens now. Something that happens tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But you see, he goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say in this verse, believe in the gospel. And do you know what? I believe that that is the starting point of this transformation that Jesus talks about. So he's not just saying, do you know what? You've got to change how you're doing things, people, because you're getting it well wrong right now. This isn't what God wants you to do. This isn't how you're meant to live. It's not just saying, right, now I'm going to leave you with that. Have a think about it. Form a small group. Talk about it. You know, pray about it. And, you know, let's see what happens. No. Jesus says, you've got to turn your life around. You've got to change the way you're thinking. He has just dropped an absolute bomb into them to say, actually, how you've been doing life for the last 1,000 years is just not cutting it. And he said, by the way, this is how you do it. It is by believing in the gospel. Well, what's the gospel all about? It's about Jesus. It's about what he's done. We're leading up to Easter, aren't we? So we're going to hear a lot about it. We sung about it in the song that the worship team chose. You know, it talked about, right, Jesus has died. Then he's behind this tomb. And then bam, the tomb opens. And then he's alive. Woohoo! And we all get like really excited. That's the gospel in a nutshell. We've sung it this morning. And Jesus is saying, you've got to change the way you're living. You've got to change the way you walk. You've got to change who you are from the inside and out. But you can't do it. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do that for you. And there are many of us here this morning, we've shared testimonies, we've shared stories about what God has done. And we're not saying our life is perfect. And by the way, because our life is perfect and because we are pious and all this jazz, you know, actually, look, God has moved in our lives. We're saying, no, we're people who have said, actually, we recognize that actually the way that we've lived before knowing Jesus wasn't good. We recognize that something needs to change. We've looked at the world and we see, hang on a minute, this is messed up. And it keeps getting more messed up. And the answer isn't to be good people, because no matter how hard we try, we mess up. Actually, the answer is Jesus. The answer is believing in him, and he is the one that brings that transformation. Amen. Accepting Jesus as the king of our lives allows him to lead our life. I'm very deliberately said, I've been following Jesus now for 21 years. It's not that I said a prayer 21 years ago, happy days, I've got my ticket into the rocket to heaven with Elon Musk. I'm going to be with Jesus when I die. Yeah, that's great. But actually, I'm following him day by day. It's not always easy, and sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I lose focus. Sometimes I lose direction. But thankfully, he keeps bringing me back to keeping my eyes fixed on him. Allowing him to lead our lives is key. And as Tim said last week, Jesus' goal is much more than getting us into heaven, as I've just said. It's God's kingdom here on earth now. And this is when we read Isaiah 61 here, this is why we get so super excited. Well, I do anyway. All I want to do is get off my chair and go, woo! You might hear me during worship sometimes go, woo! Because, you know, I'm more excited about what Jesus has done and what he continues to do than whether my football team, Arsenal, scores a goal. Whether or not Kane got that penalty yesterday or not. You know, I'm more excited. Okay, I'm like, yes, England have scored a goal. But I'm more excited when we declare how incredible our Jesus is and what wonderful things he's done than any of that. Because what he's done is phenomenal. It's God's kingdom here on earth. You see, God wants to restore his people. He wants to restore us to righteous living. And in verse 3 of Isaiah 61, Isaiah talks about these trees of righteousness. These trees of righteousness. And you know, I walked past hundreds of trees yesterday. Some mega trees, solid trees. It's trees are solid most of the time. They're kind of secure, and when their roots are in the right place, they last forever and ever and ever. And you see some trees, don't you, in Canada, where they've cut a hole through, where you drive through. They're so big, they're so solid. And what it's saying here is that actually, I want to make you solid. I want to lead you to a place of solid living. I want to lead you to a place of stability, even though you may not feel stable. I want to lead you to a place of peace, even though you might not feel peaceful. And, you know, I'm going to make you trees of righteousness. And that's his goal. God's goal is to restore us. You see, God in Jesus redeems us to this place of peace. If we rewind all the way back to Genesis, and we look at Genesis, and we see the beginning of Genesis and the creation story, it's incredible, it's wonderful. You know, you're thinking, my goodness me. I mean, I would have been stressed naming all the animals, gotta be honest. I would have delegated that. But, like, you know, it was beautiful, it was wonderful. These guys got to walk with God. It was awesome, it was peaceful. And then, bam, everything messed up. They dropped the ball. And you see, I believe that the kingdom of heaven is about us experiencing that redemption, that restoration to where they were, Adam and Eve, before the fall. And we can experience those things here, now, on the earth, in Jesus. You see, when we follow Jesus' ministry, we see that he constantly demonstrates the kingdom. What do I mean, follow his ministry? Let me unpack that a minute. So if you read the New Testament from, you know, start with Matthew and read it through, sort of the Gospels, and you see the story of Jesus, he consistently demonstrates to us, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. To the point where even a woman who was completely not very well and embarrassed and shameful, she was full of shame and she was wanting to be healed, that she just touched his coat and she was healed. We see the kingdom of heaven demonstrated in everything that Jesus did. And actually, this is what the prophets, so these are all the people in the Old Testament, foretold. They said the kingdom is about redemption. They were like, this is the kingdom. They were foretelling it, but they were missing it because of the package that Jesus came in. But actually, when you look at what he was doing in his life, in his ministry, it was phenomenal. Absolutely incredible. You can get excited if you want. Or you can sit and be quiet, it's up to you, but I get excited. The kingdom is about redemption. It's not about destruction or punishment. There are some of you that are maybe watching online, you might even be here right now, where you're thinking, God is angry and he wants to punish me. The amount of times I've had friends that have, before they've walked through the door here, or even haven't quite got to the door, they thought, I'm going to get struck by lightning if I come into your church. No, you will not. I can't guarantee that you won't get struck by lightning outside, but that might not have anything to do with God. Sometimes it's a freak accident. But like, what I'm trying to say is that God is not angry. Redemption and the kingdom is not about punishment. It's not about anger. It's about compassion. In fact, the only time that we see that Jesus got angry was when he saw that people... There was a temple, okay? And people would come to the temple to kind of give their offerings to God and worship. And actually, the people running the temple were allowing lots of stuff to be sold. So basically, the kingdom isn't about us trying to profit from our movement, our faith. And I think God gets angry, you know, when it's kind of like, you know, God wants to bless you right now if you send in your £50 right now for that blessing. You know, those are the things I think that God, Jesus in that moment, that's what it's like now. Some of you are smiling. Some of you have seen that Netflix documentary where, you know, like where people have turned the gospel into this money-making machine, right? Some of you have seen it, okay? That's not what God is about. And actually, if you rewind to the temple, when Jesus went in the temple and there was all these tables and monies being exchanged and whatnot, and he saw in that moment, that was the ancient version of, you know, the message, you know, give us money. He was upset because this isn't what his father was about. His father wasn't about people trying to benefit financially, like in that way. That's the only time that we see him get angry in the New Testament. God isn't about anger, he's about restoration. The kingdom isn't about punishment, it's about forgiveness, compassion, and redemption. And do you know what? When you look at the Old Testament and the prophets and they're going to look at this good future that's coming up, they're pointing to the divine Redeemer. And this divine Redeemer is Jesus. We have him in our lives. We come here on a Sunday to worship him. He's right in the center of our lives, right? And if he's not, why not? Get him there. It's the best place to be. It's the only place to be. We can have our eyes fixed on the Ukraine right now. We can pray for them. Actually, what we all need across the world, because there's atrocities happening all over the place. The media chucks stuff up in the middle like that, and we forget about some of the other stuff. And the answer is Jesus every single time. The answer is Jesus. You see, this scripture that we're looking at in Isaiah, it's the divine Redeemer. He is the restorer of our lives. Restoration and rescue, that's what Jesus is on about. And he's wanting to recruit us into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? It means that actually he wants to use us to reach and rescue people. Reach and rescue people. I was on a hike yesterday. We did about 10 miles. And every mile or so, there was this post. And on this post, it said, call 999 if you get stuck. Call 999 if you get stuck and ask for mountain rescue. I was thinking, man, we are deep, deep in the wilderness right now. God is the divine mountain rescuer. We're on this journey, this hike of life. And he wants to restore our lives. He wants us to be walking in the kingdom from a place of mourning to a place of joy, from ashes to beauty, from heaviness to praise, from unrighteousness to righteousness. So when Father God looks at us, he doesn't go, oh, look, they are part of Adam and Eve's mess up. He looks at us and he goes, they're with my son. They're with my son. You see, when you look at the oaks of righteousness that Scripture talks about in this Isaiah Scripture, you know, God is the planter and we are the trees. The same Spirit that was upon Jesus. So I've already talked about it. Jesus gets filled with the Holy Spirit in that moment of baptism and the Father says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. That same spirit that came upon Jesus has come upon us as we put our faith in Jesus. And that spirit is what causes the growth. He is the water that causes the growth to allow us to become trees of righteousness. So you might say this morning, or you might ask actually, what does kingdom living look like? What does kingdom living look like? And I'm going to whiz through this really quickly. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready online? Just do a thumbs up. So Tim mentioned last week that kingdom living, this kingdom living in our lives, is a bit like the, well, it's like us having influence over the seven spheres of society. I'm summarizing. So it's having influence in family, celebration, media, education, religion, economics, and the government. So it's us as Christians representing and seeing, you know, the kingdom of God advance in those areas. And I wholeheartedly agree with Tim, wholeheartedly. And there is definitely this outward expression when it comes to the kingdom of God. But Tim also mentioned last week that it starts with the heart. Some of you might be thinking, what celebration? It's the arts, okay? Just going to put that there. But Tim also mentioned that it starts within our hearts. It starts with how we are doing life. Before Christ, I was self-centered. And I would argue that the world focuses on a self-centered worldview. It's all about your happiness. It's all about your enjoyment. It's about what you can get out of life. Well, as long as it makes you happy, that's okay. Just do it. Well, your happiness and improving your life, self-centered. So from the worldview, when I look at it, is that wealth is gathered so that you can do what you want, have what you want. However, I believe that kingdom living is completely different. So when you've got wealth, actually, it's about leading us to a place of generosity. It's not about, well, what can I buy? What can I get? How can I make my life even bigger and better so that everyone looks at me and goes, woohoo! It's not about that. When you've got wealth, it's like, who can I bless? Who can I bless? How can I help in that area there? How can I help in this area here? It's not wrong to have money. Who can I help? What does God want me to do? Wealth is not a status symbol or an identity, but it's a vehicle to bring change and help those around us. We can't take it with us, but we can help people. We can lift them up out of the mud and the mire. Or we can get the latest iPhone. It's not about giving. It's not about receiving. It's about giving. And I've often tried to keep my budget tight so I can help others. And I'm not saying, hey, look at me, I'm perfect. I don't always get it right. But actually, I'd much rather have less money and enter the kingdom of heaven, seeing people that have come into the kingdom of God, than to be driving whatever, you know, Audi. What was it that we saw? Aston Martin that I saw the other day. As people see how you live life, this challenges them. And it points to Jesus. In situations where people have wronged you, self-centered living, non-kingdom living, it's about vengeance. It's about making them pay for what they've done to me. Whereas kingdom, Christ-centered living is about forgiveness. You see, I've had situations in my life where I have been wronged, and I have had people say to me, make them pay, Dan. Make them pay. And I've said no, because my Father God says to me, I need to forgive and release. Forgive and release. And I've done that. And when I've done that, I've seen incredible things happen in my life. I've seen incredible things happen in the lives of those around me. And the people looking on that have said, make them pay, have been like, whoa, that is different. That is different. God's way is mercy. Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying. Those of you might be listening online, those of you that might be thinking, well, does that mean that justice has no place? If someone breaks the law, are we meant to just forgive them? Well, yeah, we're meant to forgive them, but they still need to go through the process of due process. Justice still needs to take place. If somebody has wronged you and broken the law, they need to go to court. They need to have a trial. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is, even in the midst of that, if someone has clearly wronged you massively, the message for you today, those of you listening, is forgive. God wants you to forgive them, because you're going to be caught in this prison, because kingdom living is about releasing people, not making them pay. I'm coming into land now, and I know the kids are waiting to come in as well, but kingdom living is consistently about your life being about serving and blessing those around you. Please don't walk out of here this morning and go, oh man, Dan's spoken about how we handle our money. I've got to forgive that person that I really don't like right now. And you've got this big list of things that I'm giving you to do. No, please. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I don't want you going with a big list. What I'm saying is, kingdom living is about living our lives for others. It's about serving others. Actually, our life isn't about ourselves, it's about Christ Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate example of this, and we are representing the kingdom of God to those around us. And let me tell you, we've talked about the seven spheres of influence this morning, but actually where it really starts beyond our heart, the next step, is it starts with in our homes. It starts in our families. It starts with our spouse. It starts with our roommates. It starts with our family members and our friends. And then we look to what God wants to do in us with the seven spheres of influence. It's no good you being an incredibly influential person for Christ in your business or in your business world, but you're a jerk to your kids and your wife. My friend, that means you need to resolve that. It's no good you being this incredibly wonderful, like, what seems to be Jesus-following woman of God, but then you're out getting absolutely wasted with your old schoolmates and being a bad example. No. It starts in our hearts. So as we leave today, let's ask God, God, how is it you're wanting me to live my life? Holy Spirit, lead me. Guide me, speak into my character, show me what needs to change, show me what needs to improve, show me what I do need to say sorry about. And then beyond your life, it's how am I influencing those in my immediate circle for Jesus? And then it goes to the seven spheres. You see, for me, it starts with my boys, Caleb and Judah. It then goes to my fiance, Kate. They're my first place of ministry. That's my first place to look. That's where my kingdom living starts. So I want you just to take a moment right now. I want us to take a moment just to reflect. Those of you online right now, maybe just take that moment with us. Even if you're catching up on demand, you can take this moment. Let's ask ourselves this question. Am I living for the kingdom right now? What do those around you see? Do they see a kingdom life? Do they see a Christ-centered life? Or do they see a self-centered life? I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are our helper, you're our comforter. We thank you that this moment in our personal histories where we are confronted with choosing to live life our way or choosing to follow Jesus and live life his way, that you are here to help us and guide us. We don't have to do it alone. So whatever you're doing, we just want to say you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. I welcome you in my life, continually to lead and to guide me. And maybe this morning, you might be listening to the prayer here right now, and you might be thinking, I don't have the Holy Spirit in my life. I've asked Jesus into my life. I just pray right now for you that you would become aware of Holy Spirit in your life over this next few days, this next week. For those of you that might have been challenged, those of you online that might have been challenged about not living your life the way you should have, you've lost your focus, you've maybe become a bit too self-centered. Just want to say, God, there's forgiveness in that. He's not there going, rrr. He's there going, come on, I want to help you. So, Father, we thank you that you want to help us. For those of us that have lost focus, you want to help us. Will you forgive us, Lord, for living life our own way? Not focusing on you. Will you guide us? For those of us that are like, well, we haven't got a clue. We've not lived kingdom living really and we've got no clue. Will you help us? Will you help us in Jesus' name? And then finally, before we close, maybe you're watching online this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you think, do you know what? Actually, I'm feeling and I'm sensing God right now and I want Jesus in my life. And you want to take that first step of saying, actually, I surrender. I want to live for you, Jesus. If that's you right now, I wonder if you're in the room here right now, that you might just stand, if that's you. If you're online, maybe you want to send us a Facebook message, if that's you right now. And I just want to pray for you right now. And I'd say if you just repeat what I pray, you can say it out loud, you can say it in your head. Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for living life my way. I want to live life your way. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for me. And I believe that you have forgiven my sins and that I can live for you from this moment forth. In Jesus' name, amen.